That is a song called Lightning Bugs from an album called Kid Scissors by a band called Elephant Gun, who are based in Chicago, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and that's why they're here today, is that they've got a gig in Champaign tonight downtown at Mike and Molly's, along with a local group called An Evening with Your Mother and another duo called Love Toy, wonderful name, as is Elephant Gun, for that matter, and I'm very curious about it. The show starts at 8, or at least the doors open at 8, and I'm not exactly sure the sequence, but we've got four of the guys out of a 9-piece band who are with us in the studio today to share some of this. It's not their latest album. It's the latest one that's actually available. Another one is in process, and recorded 2010, 2011. And they are the two founding brothers, Jared and John Olson. Jared does the lead vocals and most of the songwriting, plays guitar. John, guitar, vocals, and interestingly, marimba, which I'm very curious about, too. Jim Drake also does guitar, and Ryan Wisniak is the drummer for the group and lays down some, what I think are some pretty interesting beats and often very catchy, as you just heard in that one. So, gentlemen, thanks very much for coming down and coming in the studio today.
Thanks, Kevin.
Having us.
Obvious first question, why Elephant Gun? I mean, I thought I knew what an elephant gun was, but never heard it applied to a band before.
I think the name was a mistake that I made. I was taking a bunch
this
of...
This is Ryan here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was taking a bunch of history courses, and I was really reading a lot about Theodore Roosevelt, and his uncle bought him what I thought was an elephant gun. I found out later it wasn't, but we just were trying to think of band names, and I thought it sounded kind of fun because we were kind of doing punk stuff and Americana stuff at the same time, so it kind of had that rustic feel, but it's also kind of, I guess, intense sounding in a way.
Elephant gun is a name. Well, it's funny, if you go to Wikipedia and look up elephant gun, it's in fact a picture of Teddy Roosevelt standing on an elephant.
Hopefully we influenced
that. Page. Oh, you think so? Well,
you
just never know.
You never know.
But so maybe they were mistaken too. It wasn't really an elephant gun he was holding. I mean, I'm always curious about band names, and most of the time bands are, will tell you it was an accident in one form or another, or something that that sounded right at the time. And speaking of sound, curious combination, at least curious to me anyway, I don't know, maybe it's more common than I think, of, as you said, punk and Americana. Usually I don't think of the two going together.
Yeah, you know, it's something like we just wanted to make a sound that was very natural and explosive, but also rooted in not only American music, but a lot of different world influences, and just try to combine it all into this like melting pot of cultural influences. And, you know, a lot of us come from different backgrounds and stuff with music, and like our violinist was raised on classical, I was raised on rock and roll, and it just, you know, it just all kind of combined, and we love our world influences just as much as we love our bluegrass and our jazz and all that, you know.
Well, so. I like the two terms you used right away, but that not as an implication necessarily that the two normally would go together, but that if you do one and add the other, that already makes a different sound.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, the way Ryan drums, he doesn't drum like, well, bluegrass they usually don't even have drummers in their bands, you know, and so we thought that added a nice little kick, literally.
Yeah, exactly, literally. Did the early, and see, I have, you brought along Bear Time Stories. Was that the first record?
Our second, actually.
Second one. Mm-hmm. The other one was an EP?
It was a full-length, it was called KP, and it was definitely a very fun, kind of fast weekend of recording, you know, our first set of songs. And
Not the best takes.
And how did that happen? That's what you're supposed to do, right? Take the best of whatever goes on?
Well, when you have a lot of people in your band, they're all just hanging out, recording an album, you don't necessarily concentrate on the music as much as you'd like.
and it was very much so a free spirited environment.
Yeah, it's funny.
So,
do you think the sound is, I mean, since we're hearing, we might hear something from Bear Time Stories coming up, but we're mostly going to hear from almost the latest recording. Do you think your sound has changed a lot since then? Because to my ear anyway, this one, Kid Scissors, sounds quite a bit different from Bear Time Stories, which I would say is more of a piece. I mean, you go from one tune to the other, you could say this is the same band.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing Kid Scissors, if I weren't really paying attention, I could guess that it could be, you know, four or five different bands, maybe.
Cool. Yeah, we like to try new things all the time. You know, I think as long as we have the way Ryan drums and the way we all sing, and we kind of keep the instrumentation to a certain level of, I don't know, like expectations as far as the chops and as far as everything goes, like we can really do a lot with it, and a lot of different things with similar textures is kind of what we've been trying to do. And, you know, like the horns will always be there, you know, and stuff like that, but we might throw some distortion under them eventually or try new things, just constantly experimenting and being adventurous. I mean, I like to call our music adventure music.
Well, even having horns is not really all that normal, although it certainly has happened. In fact, one of the bands that some of your songs remind me of is Chicago, which is where you guys are based.
Oh, awesome. We love Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have that in mind when you decided to put a sax and a trumpet in the band?
I think that was more of our saxophone player, Justin. He's really good at coming up with parts, and he's a music teacher, so he just naturally drifts towards stuff like that.
Well, what I meant was, did you have the band Chicago at all in mind in creating your sound?
More so the E Street Band, but we definitely love Chicago as well. But we took a lot of influence from Mr. Bruce Springsteen and that whole big band sound of just powerhouse, you know, music that just is very thick and just kind of makes you feel good, makes you want to dance, but yeah, can get into your head at the same time.
I definitely had Chicago in mind during some of my songs and some of the brass arrangements.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, like, yeah, I was like,
this is a Jim Drake, like, by the way.
That's like a archetype. And some of my songs, like Hot Shots on one album and Go and Leave on another, just kind of have this straight up like 70s-ish brass arrangement. And I was all about that. But that's the thing that, you know, I'm a different songwriter than Jared, so.
Yeah, but Chicago, I mean, I think that they're definitely an influence on what we do, especially our bass player. He is a huge fan.
Totally.
Huge fan.
Well, I just listen to them all the time, and I've sort of forgotten some of their songs. In fact, I don't even know. Are they still active?
I don't know.
Kind of, sort of, not really.
I haven't seen them around.
One of those reunion bands that happens every once in a while.
I think they did something weird recently where they did, like, the theme song for Chicago, and I think it was with somebody from a jam band. It was a, kind of like a super group sort of situation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but that's the last I'd heard of them doing anything.
We might have to look it up, and while we're playing the next song, I wanted to play one here, and Jared, I think you wrote this one, right? The Coolest Dudes and the Birthday Girl?
Yeah.
Anybody else in mind when you did this one, or you're just thinking, what would Elephant Gun sound like to these words?
Yeah, well, it was just a song about a night on tour that we had, and we played this house party in Bloomington, Indiana, and it ended up being this huge toga party for this girl whose birthday was the same as mine, and we just so happened to be able to celebrate our birthday together and have a fun show, and it was just one of those nights you remember, you know, in a lot of ways, and I just wanted to write a sweet tune and just have the band really bring it into the forefront as far as the orchestration and everything.
And you were listening to the Avett Brothers a lot back then.
Yeah, I love the Avett Brothers.
Yeah, that song reminds me of something.
The Who Brothers?
The Avett Brothers?
Mm-hmm. They're from the Carolinas, I think North Carolina. Real good country writers.
Yeah, it's really rough and tumble, like backcountry brother stuff. It's good.
Okay, well, let's give it a listen. It's called Coolest Dudes and the Birthday Girl by the band Elephant Gun, who are going to be playing at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign tonight. And this is Live and Local.
I've had the pleasure of knowing, just casting the lines, fading in the shadows. We'll be losing our minds, waiting in the shallow. Take a girl.
The Coolest Dudes and the Birthday Girl is the name of the song by Elephant Gun. Jared Olson wrote that particular one and comes off their newest CD, Kid Scissors. They're going to be at Mike and Molly's downtown Champaign tonight, along with a duo called Love Toy and An Evening with Your Mother. And the show starts, well, it says, depending upon where on Mike and Molly's you read, either the doors open at 8 or the show starts at 8. Do you guys know?
I believe doors are at 8, show starts at 9.
And are you first, or is Evening with Your Mother first?
Maybe? We are second, yeah. You're Evening second. With Your Mother first, and then Love Toy is after us, yeah.
Evening with Your Mother's, I actually know a number of the young people who are in that, and I keep trying to get them on the show, and they can never coordinate their schedules. So I heard them one time. Pretty nice band.
Awesome.
Hard to pin down also what sort of things they do. But I was really, when I did the promo for... recorded the promo for today's show, I just stole some stuff probably off your Facebook page, and people seem to be intrigued by it. At least some of them said they were. I picked the most contrasting, I guess, metal-influenced folk pop. And then this one I really liked, Americana-baked ballroom swagger. Which of you guys penned that? Or did somebody else write that about you?
And that was our label. That was the guy from our label. We took all that from our biography that they had written for us, which we thought was appropriate, and I guess pinned us down to a certain extent.
But what does that even mean? I'm trying to hear ballroom in some of your songs.
I wrote this song on the first album called Waltz One, and it's just a really sloppy, like, drunken waltz, and I think that's where it kind of all came from.
Yeah, we do a waltz on every album.
I've noticed.
And so I think...
You're up to waltz 3. Is there a waltz 4 on the one coming out?
Yeah, no, it's like 6.5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a... It's a continuation that I think we'll keep doing. And I'm pretty sure the ballroom swagger came from that. And we used to play kind of bigger rooms back where we were from, like a roller rink and... some rented out ballrooms and stuff. And I think that it just kind of really meshed well with what we were doing. Even if there was only like 20 or 30 people there, it was a fitting environment for us just to be able to fill a big room with a lot of instruments. And
you say back where you were from.
Mm-hmm, which is like outside of Chicago, kind of more, a little more rural.
McHenry County.
Yeah, McHenry County.
I actually know of a youth orchestra up there.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're at. Pretty much all of us, I would say, are from, yeah. With the exception of, no, all of us are from McHenry County. Yeah. Isn't that, that's...
So yeah. Is this a case of a band that basically you grew up together, went to school together, and so you formed a band together? Or is it more complex than that?
Kind of. I mean, John and I played in a punk band together, and Jared and Jim played in kind of like a, like, proggy...
Psych rock or whatever, band, yeah.
And so... Jared wanted to start a new band, I believe, and he was talking to Paul and John, and then they asked me to play drums. So we just kind of, I didn't know Jared or Paul very well at the time, and then we ended up becoming good friends and staying in the band for this long.
Yeah. But it started out, what, is more or less four guys, and then gradually expanded?
Yeah, and we had never been in a band together. Like, we both grew up playing music, but we never played with each other. We always in like different directions musically. So.
Jared and you.
Yeah, me and Jared. Yeah.
It was a way to combine our influences.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Grew up in a band, playing in different bands, meaning primarily rock bands, or
I was in like a lot
different
of like,
backgrounds.
I was in like a lot of like punk and metal bands, like a lot of basement shows and stuff like that. And you guys were playing like bar rock.
Yeah, like, in
bar
a sense.
Sets
yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Yeah.
Like more pop oriented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was just, and I had seen Ryan drum for Crusoe, which was the band they had, and I just was seriously impressed with the chops that he had, and being as young as he was, and being the Mars Volta freak that he was, he loved the Mars Volta, and I was also into that record, and I don't know, it was just kind of cool to just have a couple dudes that we could just throw together in our parents' basement, and we worked on the sound for a good 6 or 7 months and then started playing shows.
And how long ago did it become nine people? That's a big band.
Yeah, I would say 2009-ish, started kind of blowing up.
It was just for Kid Scissors. We had 8 people on Bear Time, and then was it 6 on the first album?
Yeah.
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 So we've almost added a member every album.
Yeah, we added a trumpet player. We added Evan because our original organ player played trumpet and organ at the same time, and he had to leave the band.
Because that became too difficult.
he had some difficulties. He had a
child.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But.
Well, I meant the whole trumpet and organ playing at the same time.
Oh yeah, he loved doing that. That was like a ball for him. That was like a sport. But when he left, yeah, we had to replace him with two people, and then it kind of got a little more out of hand. And on Kid Scissors, we actually had a lot of friends play on that record with us as well. We had a good three or four friends that weren't even in the band do percussion and some organ work and stuff. So it was like one big happy family with that one.
Most sax players, like Justin's the name of the sax player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come from jazz background.
Oh,
is that his?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a big jazz guy.
He's kind of in everything.
Yeah,
that's true.
He was just as much into punk rock as he was jazz when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. Equally enthused.
Does the jazz part infiltrate your sound, do you think? I'm trying to remember in what I heard if I hear any improvisation, really.
We have no improv, but definitely we do like to draw influence from the big band jazz of, you know, like the Louis Armstrong days and stuff where it was more arranged. We do have our solo sections. We like to throw them in there occasionally. A lot of saxophone solos. We love our saxophone solos, which is kind of Justin's jazz sections, I guess, in a sense. And he always plays them differently live and has a lot of fun with them. But we definitely love the big band mentality of the huge horn arrangements.
Like throwing in jazz chords
uh-huh.
and the horn arrangements.
And textures and stuff, yeah.
Well, there seem to me to be a lot of different chords going on in here from time to time, including, you know, what I'd call some crunch chords that are... what was the band that was just here the other day? I went to go hear him, and I know I've already forgotten. The Sultans of String, who are actually a duo that tours, but they're a five-piece when they're in Toronto, Canada, and they do a lot with effects on their fiddle, because the violin's the main instrument, violin and guitar, mm-hmm. and the guitarist does a lot of looping as well, but I just forgot where I was going with that. What were you talking about?
Just like big band arrangements, Louis Armstrong, just...
Crunch chords.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious. So,
yeah, that's right, Captain Crunch. No, different kinds of dissonances that come in and go out and in any event. I thought, since you mentioned it, we'd play one of the waltzes, Waltz 3, which is off of Kid Scissors. And did I dream it? Or maybe this was, I was also thinking of the Sultans of String. There's some flamenco in here.
You played a nylon.
At least at the end.
You played a nylon string. which, you know, occasionally... Why not throw some flamenco in there?
Yeah.
because this group, that guitarist does a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little flamenco in here for the second time in 3 days.
I really like that Rodrigo and Gabriello duo. They're awesome. That's like, I saw them live and I was like, wow, that's some real flamenco.
I actually do have one of their CDs, which is I haven't seen them live, but I've seen them on YouTube, I guess, which is. Next best thing, right? It's Waltz 3 by Elephant Gun off their Kid Scissors CD, and they'll be in Champaign tonight for a show with a couple of other bands as well. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
So I gave you the wrong name of that one. I'd written it down wrong. But it was, in fact, the song I wanted to play. It's called Where Have You Been, Dorf, All My Life, and it was written by the fiddle player you heard from the band Elephant Gun, Katie Ben Dorf, hence the name. And that comes off Kid Scissors, which, what, it must have come out a year or so ago, 2 years ago?
Maybe. 2011, yeah, like late 2011. So it's been out almost 2 years now.
Elephant Gun will be playing at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign tonight. Also, the band An Evening with Your Mother opens things up, and then Elephant Gun, and then I guess the, what do you call the main act or main stage or something
the
like
headliner.
That. Headliner, thank you. That's the term I was looking for. Love Toy, who I don't know anything about either, but I was intrigued by the name Elephant Gun. And I thought I'd explore them a little bit, and was glad I did. I hope you're enjoying the music. I've certainly enjoyed what I'm sharing with you today. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And you can take our sound with you anywhere you go now. It's taken a while, but we now have our own app for iPhone, iPad, and Android. Not, alas, BlackBerry, having just bought one. I can tell you that. Just head to the App Store or Google Play, search for WYLL Radio, and it's free, allows you to stream both our AM and our FM stations. You can listen to past episodes of some of your favorite programs on demand and a lot more. WYLL Radio on App Store or Google Play. Our programs are made possible today in part by 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign. For over 25 years, 10,000 Villages has provided income to artisans in more than 30 developing countries by marketing their handicrafts and telling their stories in North America. We're talking a little bit about where do sounds of bands come from, particularly the sound of your band. One of the first things that struck me listening was the vocal sound, which I guess is mostly your vocal sound, Jared. But also, you know, with whoever's in the background. And I initially mistook you for a British band.
Oh, cool. Right. Nice. On.
Just because of, I don't know, I mean, I haven't seen you live, so I don't know how it looks when you're singing, but it you sort of sounded like, and I can't name them because I'm not good at current bands, but it sounded like you had perhaps an English accent.
Really?
Or had some other band in mind, which I can't name because I can't think of them.
Yeah, just a really bad Chicago accent, that's all.
Yeah. So this is a surprise to you and nothing conscious, therefore, on your part.
No, not at all. No, I really admire singers like Beck and I don't know, Steve Malkmus, and singers that, Paul Simon, singers that really just kind of sing like themselves. So I've just kind of never really tried to put too much style and just kind of sing like I'm talking to you in a room sort of thing, you know? I've always been into those sorts of singers, but now I just kind of, just how I've always sung, I don't know.
I have to say I appreciate that because I've heard, it seems to me there's more and more singers who seem to go out of their way not to sound like themselves. Either imitate somebody else that they thought sounded interesting or just get out of their own persona and then...
Yeah,
maybe really bugs me.
Yeah, maybe that's like a whole self-conflict thing. I don't know.
We can't exactly psychoanalyze it, but I appreciate that because hearing you talk, thought, yeah, this is the guy that's singing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just I don't know. I just like singers that just sing the songs, you know. But I think nowadays you do have a lot more music, so people are trying hard to stand out, you know, and singers want to maybe be a little more flamboyant with what they do or a little more eccentric, which is, I think will eventually come back, you know, like kind of the types of singers that we saw in the 70s and, you know, like Robert Plant and more eccentric, I don't know how to explain it. But then when you hear Robert Plant sing, it's like he doesn't even sound British. You know, he sounds like he's from America, you know, same with some of the, like, the way McCartney sang and stuff.
Except when he's talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what
sounds
happens
really there? British.
Well, I have noticed that some, actually trying to remember, there was a French woman who I interviewed for this program, and Cyril Aimé is her name. I don't know if you've ever heard this person.
No, I like her name.
Wonderful singer, French, but when she sings, there's no, it's gone. When she sings in English, completely gone. The French accent anyway, and she seemed to be pretty aware of that, and I guess it was because of where she learned English, or she said she learned it phonetically. Mm-hmm. So I guess, therefore, the accent went away or something to that effect. But I do, maybe this was partly why I was thinking British, too, because I've noticed that some British and maybe especially Irish bands, the men seem to sing, for lack of a better term, like men. And not, I mean, so many bands, especially maybe American rock bands, the lead singers sing way up in the stratosphere, and I always wonder how it is they manage to do it.
Yeah, me too.
And I've always liked that sort of manly way of singing. I don't know another way to put it. But it sounds like it's in a normal bass baritone kind of range.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was a choir boy.
So. Is that right?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time. I sang in choir in college. I really enjoy it. I miss singing in choirs. I really enjoy it. I enjoy 40 people singing together. It's one of the most amazing things. And so I mean, I guess, you know, like you were saying with the French, you know, like I grew up singing a lot of Latin. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was probably pronouncing it right because that's what the director was telling me.
You can do it phonetically.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was saying, but you know.
You ever thought of writing an elephant gun tuned for a 40-piece choir?
Oh, that would be amazing. I would love to. Yeah.
You heard it first. I want the credit. If you decide to do it.
I had this idea for this like kind of punk rock DIY a cappella group that didn't involve any instruments. And maybe one day we'll get around to it. But something that, you know, because this band, we have so much gear. And it's like, you know, it's a lot goes into the production of it. So I just kind of was like, oh, how about an a cappella group where we do everything with our mouths and feet and hands? And not have to carry
How far has this concept gone in your head?
Nowhere besides inside of it.
Yeah. So it just came out.
Nowhere close to fruition just yet. I mean, it sounds like kind of an interesting idea.
It'd be fun.
Well, although it's, you know, with college a cappella groups, they often don't particularly sound a cappella, particularly on recordings. And it more or less sounds like a, you know, pop rock band on the recordings. Mm-hmm. Then you get them out live. And it's really kind of a different picture, even with the beatboxing and or vocal percussion and so on. You mentioned that that Katie, the violinist, has a classical background. Where's your trumpeter come from?
He's a punk rocker.
Yeah, him and I played in a punk band together, like towards the end of high school. And he actually didn't even play trumpet for a really long time. We just needed a trumpet player, and he was like, "Oh, all right, I guess I can play trumpet." And he just kind of got back into it, and now he only plays trumpet in bands, and he hates it. It's really funny. Because he's a really good guitar player.
And he hates it because he plays trumpet, people ask him?
Yep.
Yeah, because everybody plays guitar, nobody asks him?
They're a rare breed, so, you know. So he gets a lot of offers for trumpet, no offers for guitars. He's sitting out in his car laughing right now.
Either laughing or cursing, one or the
other.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, I've been saying that this is on a CD, but you put your albums out on LPs too. Did I hear that?
Just this one. Yeah, we were able to do it.
Kid Scissors.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do that? I'm an audiophile, and I actually have a decent turntable, but I'm shocked at the number of bands that are putting out LPs these days.
Coming back.
Yeah, I think it's a. People are reverting, you know, with all the digital media and the blog sites and the free downloads and all that going on. I think it's like if you're really into a record, well, me specifically, if I hear something and I'm really into it, I'm going to buy it on vinyl because that's what I listen to in my living room. And in my opinion, next to a reel, that's the best sound that you're going to get from a master recording. And nowadays they're making this 180 gram stuff that you can spin and you're never going to lose quality on it. So it's really improved. My dad is really into it. Our dad is really into it. He's definitely, he goes record shopping all the time now. And ever since we put ours out on vinyl, and I think there's a resurgence going on with the whole, just the need for quality.
And just like a tangible, something you can touch that you can hold that is mm-hmm. art. Like, there's something to that totally got lost in the past 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, especially with MP3s, people don't need to buy CDs as much because they could just download it online. So I guess it makes having the vinyl a little more special than buying a CD or downloading it. Like, if you really like a band and you want to support them, and they have vinyl. I always pretty much buy vinyl.
And you can pretty much always, when you buy a vinyl, get a download code to MP3 version when you want it on your iPod.
So how many of you all have turntables?
Probably everybody in our band, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Most of my friends do too. Like in Chicago, it's popular. Like people like records all of a sudden again.
Well, it's great because there's a lot of record stores and a lot of, you know, old collectors out there. A lot of nostalgia just from the city being a city for so long, and the record stores just fill up with amazing albums being sold for $2 or $3 a piece. I mean,
are there actually still record stores?
Because last I looked, the
big ones were gone.
No, they're all like mom and pop shops.
There's
one called Logan Hardware, and they have a video arcade in the back, and it's all like old school video games from the 80s and 90s. So it's the best place.
And LPs up in the front.
Yep. Yeah.
So you buy a record, you get to play old arcade games for as long as you want.
sounds like fun to me. I suppose, not that I actually play arcade games, but I think it's kind of refreshing. Even as much as I like the sound of LPs, you know, it's so much more convenient to do the CD, and I don't play LPs as much as I used to, but it's still refreshing, and I agree with you. It's about the best sound. What's the sound of your new record? Is that going to be an LP also, or don't know yet?
We don't think we're going to put this one on vinyl. You know, we're part of a little label, and we can do what we can do as far as pressing goes, but...
Little label, interestingly, is we're talking about different kinds of media, cassette deck media.
Chris, that's correct. Yeah, they've been helping us out since the beginning. And so we'll probably put it out with them, and it might be on a cassette, actually, as well as a download. And it's a little different, I think, this record. I think we're branching out a little more.
In what way? Ways?
I would say a darker, more cerebral...
spacier.
It's something that you just kind of maybe have to hear, but it's definitely a little bit darker than our previous albums.
And there's a lot of like guitar distortion and effects and stuff that aren't on Kid Scissors, because Kid Scissors is all basically natural instruments.
Which this is too, but we're playing around a little more with it.
Yeah.
Do you know the name yet?
Castle Boots will be the name of the new album, which is... Ryan can explain that one.
I'll let him, because I'm curious. And somebody has to explain Kid Scissors, too.
So when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember Waffle Blocks, but they were these kind of Lego-colored blocks shaped like waffles, sort of, and you can put them together. Some of them had windows in them, and I would make boots out of them when I was a kid and walk around the house. And since there was windows, I just called them Castle Boots, because it looks kind of like a castle. You can make castles out of them. And I wore them on my feet.
You should see the look on his face right now. he just looks like he's still got them on. Yeah. And he loves the feeling of having those castle boots.
Yeah, they're
on.
Like your slippers, like at night. Yeah. You know?
What about Kid Scissors?
That album title, it doesn't really stem from anything physically that has ever happened to us. But I just thought it was funny, because that album, a lot of the songs are about kind of holding on to your inner child, in a sense, as you age. You know, I'm 31, and it was when I was writing a lot of the songs, I was in my late 20s and nearing my 30s, and just thinking about growing up or whatever, and just kind of, but not wanting to lose that sort of inner innocence and that quirky, imaginative thing that, you know, that you tend to get jaded with through life and paying bills and whatever. And that I just thought the term Kid Scissors was cool, because it's, you know, it's sharp, but it's not too sharp. And it's kind of, it's hard to describe the way that it represents the songs, but basically it's us playing with a lot of toys and trying not to hurt ourselves.
And there was, in fact, a story behind it. One of our friends, Lily, who we play music with, was cutting someone's hair, I believe, at Katie Bendorf's house.
Oh, yeah, Paul's mullet, right?
No.
It wasn't Paul's mullet?
No, it was a different...
That was epic.
It's a different mullet.
Different mullet. and we were in the midst of trying to figure out album names for Kid Scissors, but we hadn't reached that one. And she was like, sure, I'll give you a haircut, but all we have are Kid Scissors. like safety scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone's like, kid scissors, that sounds cool. And we kind of passed it around. Eventually we're like, okay, that like fits it. But everything that Jared said is, that's why we thought it fit, because it kind of matches all that stuff.
What's
so
the,
another accident.
Yeah, another accident. What's the kid theme, as it were, behind The City Winds?
Well, The City Winds is about just a time when I was younger. I was around 18 or 19, and I was working at a restaurant with a lot of crazy people. And we decided we were going to go over to the lake, the really wealthy areas of the Lake Michigan beaches on the north side of Chicago, and just pretty much hop around private beaches and swim illegally. And then it was a combined into that, which was, you know, just a great experience being young and doing something like that and living in Chicago and just going to Chicago beaches and watching the ecosystem happen as far as just the mesh of people and the diversity and how, because it all works and everybody makes it work, the city wins in a sense. In a legal issue, you know, in a legal way, the city wins. It's like a law. It's like you're in court, throw a bunch of crazy people on a beach. They all get along. Nobody gets hurt. The city wins.
And you didn't get caught.
And you didn't get caught. Yeah.
I was referring to you guys.
So we both won.
Yeah. Here is the song, The City Wins, by Elephant Gun, who are going to be playing in downtown Champaign tonight. They're my guests, or rather four of them are, on Live and Local today.
We make our way into the race out on the waves. Freshwater sailors find their shore.
Called The City Wins by Elephant Gun here on Live and Local. And we've got four of their members as my guests today. It's actually a nine-piece band. They're going to be playing at Mike and Molly's in Champaign tonight. And Jared Olson and John Olson brothers, who were among the founders of the band, Jim Drake and Ryan Wisniak. So you guys were the four of the original members, or the four original members?
Pretty much, yeah. Our bass player, who was unable to come on tour with us, we have our buddy Brian filling in for him, but he was also one of the original members, and him and I go way back, you know. He's been playing bass, and I've been playing guitar in bands together since, like, eighth grade. So he would have been in here if we were able to get him on the tour, definitely, because he always has a few things to say, and he's actually in the radio business.
Oh, yeah?
So he's into sports casting right now. So.
Not a bad business to be in.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. So he's been busy with that, so that's why he couldn't come out with us. But
I wanted to ask you two things about this song that just listening to it again reminded me of. One is that, you know, I was talking earlier about the sound of your voice and the harmonies that were making me think of, I thought it was a British band, but it occurred to me in that song that it's really Crosby, Stills, Nash and or Young.
Thank you.
And you like that, huh?
Yes.
I've been hearing some of their, actually going back to some LPs of, that I have, that I hadn't heard for a long time, and always liked the harmony.
Really unique group of individuals right there. you know, the way they blended their voices, you'll never get that from anybody. You know, it's just, their voices were all just so distinct in their own right, but they were able to sing harmonies really well together, which I think is a very hard feat, to have a four lead singers singing harmonies. Mm. And I think that's really what made their sound so incredible. But definitely a huge influence on me.
That's good. Well, I'm glad I sort of picked that up correctly then in that case. But you, Jared, you pretty much do all the lead vocals with occasional exceptions, or there's never an exception?
He writes pretty much all the songs, and then me and Jim write two or three songs an album, usually, and then we sing our own songs.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
And then when it turns over to us, Jared will sing the harmonies to my songs or the harmonies to
you. Yeah.
Or all three of us together.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask from this one, I forgot to ask earlier, maybe it didn't show up as prominently in this one, is the marimba.
The marimba.
How did you, John, as a guitarist, end up also playing the marimba? Is that one something you picked up along the way? Or?
Well, I was mainly a drummer growing up. And when I was 19, I was helping my aunt move, and she had just gotten remarried. And the guy's kids, who he didn't live with anymore, he just had a marimba at his house. And he's like, "Do you want this? You can just take it for helping me move." And I was like, yeah.
Looks like a great toy, right?
It was a great toy. And I just really gotten into like music theory, and like between really liking theory and drums, that just was really easy for me to pick up. And I love playing it. It's super fun.
The marimba is not something that one normally just happens to have in their house.
It's really, really bizarre. I never thought I would have used it as much as I did.
Is it a 4 or 5 octave marimba?
3 octave.
3 octave? Okay, so a smaller one, which is...
Yeah, yeah. No, the real marimbas, you can't take those. Those things are like the size of a room.
I was going to ask, what are you traveling in if you're hauling a marimba around?
Oh, it's a nightmare. We have two cars. One of them's like a Jeep, like a big Jeep truck, which we cram all of the gear in, and one little tiny seat in the back.
It's called the trap.
It's called the trap, because if you get an accident, you're probably going to die. and then we have another car that's just full of 5 dudes, just sardine packed. And it makes for a very uncomfortable drive.
We actually have had a band in here where the lead instrumentalist, I'm trying to remember, do they ever do vocals? They must do vocals sometimes. Plays a 5-octave marimba. I mean, that's the main instrument. And he brought it in here. And played live. But in order to get it into our studio, it basically had to be completely disassembled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And then reassembled. And he didn't seem fazed by this at all. I guess
it's pretty common for him.
Part of the gig.
If you can haul a 5-octave marimba around, this is going to happen, I guess, a lot. Kevin, and I can't think of anybody's names today. This is the problem about having a completely unscripted interview, is that things pop up and then you rely on your memory. And as people who know me will agree to, that's a really risky thing to do. When you're doing live shows, as I'm sure you do a lot, although I did read, I think, that you don't tour as much as you'd like to because of the size of the band.
Yeah, it's hard to get out on the road, but when we do it, it's well worth it.
Are the songs as as tightly structured as what we hear on the CD, or do you branch out and, you know, add some solos that wouldn't be on a record, or do things happen that...
Yeah, like we'll do things a little differently occasionally. I mean, the song structures are there. We will mess around with textures.
Especially, we don't jam or anything like that.
No, some of the newer stuff is a little more branched out and a little more... it leaves some room to play with some improvisation, but we don't do too much of that.
Is this a fear thing or a control thing?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Control.
Yeah.
I like the band to sound the same pretty much every time we play.
Yeah, if we spend a lot of time writing and arranging our songs, and I feel like there's a reason we do that. And if you're branching off from that too much, I don't think it's going to do justice to the ideas we spent a year on.
And I think it works, like branching off and jamming and stuff, I think works really well as certain types of music.
Oh, definitely.
Like if it's especially, I don't know, like old jazz, people would do extended sections for, so people would dance. But our music, I don't know if it really lends itself, at least the stuff that we've released so far, it doesn't really lend itself very well to like improvisational sections that are extended. But I think... with Kid Scissors, we play the songs slightly differently now, because when we recorded it, we didn't really know the songs that well. We kind of learned them in the studio. So mm-hmm. I know I play the drums to those songs way differently than we recorded them. Yeah.
But you're still going to get a very familiar
yeah.
arrangement that you're going to hear from the album.
Yeah, like dynamically, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be similar.
The one thing I was thinking of is rather than adding sections to... like include more improvisation. One thing I kind of understood with the rehearsals leading up to this tour, especially with having a different bass player, is just within every section, every single show we play, something's going to be slightly different, maybe dynamically, and just trying to match the dynamics of the other players rather than just playing perfectly what was on the CD. So occasionally I might do something a little bit different or quieter or whatever.
Yeah, we don't play the same solos and that are on the album, you know. I mean, we definitely change it up.
But for those people who learned about you and got to like you because of an album, they might be happy going to a live show and, oh, that's the song I like. Whereas a lot of bands, you can't at all reproduce what they've done in an album live. So it sounds like you don't, when you go into the studio, you basically try to create your sound, the live sound, more or less.
Yeah, because we don't really mess with computer effects really on stuff for the most part. I mean, we don't have like tons and tons of money to go in the studio and do all this crazy stuff. So kind of the way we record is very simple. And our engineer Joe Gack, he likes to make instruments sound as good as he can with the space, and he typically doesn't like to. He likes the natural sound. So that's worked out pretty well for us, and that's why we sound the same live as on the CD pretty much.
Well, you can go hear Elephant Gun performing live tonight at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign. Doors open at 8 o'clock. We're pretty sure the show starts at 9 with An Evening with Your Mother, and then Elephant Gun go on, and then what was it? Headliner.
Love Toy.
Love Toy will go on after that. And... it's a nice place to hear music. I hope the weather's okay. I've got a forecast here somewhere, and it looks a little iffy. Let's see. What does it say? Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cool. So best of luck to that. I have no idea what's happening outside.
Well, the show will be moved inside if the,
they have big enough space to do that.
Yeah, that's the plan. So
okay, good.
The show will go on regardless.
Speaking of shows, let me mention a couple of other, well, a few other things going on live in our listening area before we hear one more track. Steve Rodman is at Scott Park in Champaign this evening at 6 o'clock. Again, I presume weather permitting. Don't know what's their setup. Country Gentlemen are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, coming up at 5:30. The Hoagland Center for the Arts is putting on Bleacher Bums, a comedy in Springfield. That is at 8 o'clock tonight through Sunday. Classical guitarist Rachel Schiff will be at Indigo Artist Co-op in downtown Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. Danville Light Opera students are putting on The Return of Halley's Comet tonight and tomorrow at 7, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. The Boneyard Jazz Quintet is at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 5, so just in a few minutes. George Turner and Tanya Combs continue then at 8 o'clock, the Iron Post. It's Sympathy Jones, the new Secret Agent musical put on by Tri-County Players at Paxton Market Theater, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, Sunday matinee at 2. Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting The Will Rogers Follies tonight at 8, and that continues as well. Creative Dramatics Workshop in Sydney is presenting Chekhov's Three Sisters tonight and tomorrow, 7:30, Sunday at 2:30. And now this is pertinent because we just did a feature on this yesterday. Missoula Children's Theater, production of The Secret Garden in Bloomington, is going to be moved inside. I did see notice of that at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. And it's still free, and it still costs, and it still starts at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. This is 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Many thanks to Jared and John Olson, Jim Drake, and Ryan Wisniak of Elephant Gun for joining us on the show today. And we're going to go out with actually something from their previous CD called Bear Time Stories. The song is called To Bring You Home.